Praise God. I'm going to talk about that old intimidator this morning. Revelation chapter 2. Go ahead to the main slide, my brother, if you'll just pull it right on up and give me a thumbs up when you got it. And we're just so thrilled that you're here this morning. And thank you, brother and sister Wilson, your big help and a blessing when we sang. We've been missing them a few weeks. They were out a few weeks for different reasons. And we just appreciate all kinds of music. If you love the Lord, you love anything that brags on Jesus. Amen. It could be bluegrass. It could be country. It could be, I'm going to stop before I get in trouble. Amen. Contemporary. Whatever music style you've got. Whatever. It doesn't matter. God authors it all. Amen. Now, there's certain styles of music and certain ways of doing it that are not godly and good and wholesome. But I'll tell you one thing. Anything that talks about the Lord is a blessing. Amen? I want you to give the Lord a smile offering today. I want to see teeth, no teeth, gold teeth. Whatever you got, just give it. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the intimidator. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. And we certainly miss our pastor this morning. There's one thing about Pastor Jerry, and some of you might take this for granted, and please take this from someone who's had some experience beyond these four walls, but not every church has that dynamic and that fire and that unction. And I'm going to tell you something, it don't just happen. Somebody has to pray, somebody has to believe God, and our pastor's one thing about it, you'll never sit there and yawn during his sermons, I can tell you that. And you'll never sit there and be bored during one of his services. Amen. He's passionate about worship and praise. So let's not disappoint the Lord and let's not disappoint our pastor. Let's have church wide open. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. Say amen this morning. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. If you're there, say amen. If we can go to that slide this morning. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Aren't you glad salvation is now? Amen. Turn around and tell somebody now. Amen. And strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren, notice those words, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him. Somebody say they overcame him. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. We're blessed and highly favored of God. Thank you for this service. Anoint your servant right now. Lord, may I decrease and may you increase and may your word go forth today. We'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. 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 As you're being seated, tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, I know this is NASCAR country. I mean, come on. I mean, just be honest. Somebody said that you might be a NASCAR fan. You don't know if you're a NASCAR fan or not, but you're really a NASCAR fan. If they ask you where your uncle was buried and you tell them he was buried infield. Infield's the area around. Okay. All right. You might be a NASCAR fan when you're driving too close. You know how you don't call it tailgating. When you're driving close, you call it drafting. Amen. That's a NASCAR fan for you right there. And then you might be a NASCAR fan if you think the last words of the national anthem are this: gentlemen, start your engines. Amen. I mean, just how many of you were raised kind of on this NASCAR and the on Sunday afternoons, get home from church, and man, it was Daytona 500. It was the Rock down at Rockingham. I remember when I was 12 years old, my grandfather and my dad, we took a Sunday, one of the only Sundays I missed church as a young boy. We went down to Rockingham, and that's when they raced down there. They don't do it anymore. But I'm telling you, from that day to this day, I've not been able to hear as good. Come on. We sat three rows from the checkered flag, and I couldn't even see the backfield or the backstretch. I mean, that's how, when you were sitting down there, all you could see was turn three and turn one and the finish line. But we were there at the checkered line, praise God, and I was never the same. We paid $75 per ticket in 1985, I believe it was. $75 per ticket. And this is my grandfather and dad who never gave a dollar into church. Come on now. And so don't tell me that giving to church is a big thing when you can pay $75 a ticket. Come on, back then. Oh, you didn't say amen. That was a good place. But I remember we waited forever to get out of the parking lot. But it was a whole day experience. And when you think about NASCAR, you think about the names like Richard Petty. You remember him? The king, Richard Petty, with the glasses on and the hat. He was my favorite. Number 43, hallelujah, the king. And you think about Jimmy Johnson. You remember that name, anybody? Can I kid you not? Lazaro, this is not a kidding. But yesterday or day before yesterday, it was yesterday, bless God, a man who was a skinny guy with white hair came looking at TVs. And I said, well, may I have your name? He said, my name is Jimmy Johnson. That is no lie. I said, just like the race car guy. And he said, yep, that's what everybody calls me. Amen. Jimmy Johnson. And then Kyle Busch. I'm surprised that old fella is still got enough in him to get on that racetrack. He was racing when I was a teenager. Come on now. Kyle Busch. And then I thought I'd throw in a young fella that I have no clue who he is. His name is Kevin Harvick. Anybody ever heard of him? Okay, so that tells you how out of date I am. Amen. But perhaps no other name in NASCAR was or is still as famous as the man in black, Dale Earnhardt Sr., the infamous Intimidator. You know, you remember him? The Intimidator. And I'm telling you, it was 17 years ago, but I remember, and we all remember, many of us remember, that Sunday afternoon, the Daytona 500, February of 2001, I was pastoring this church when it was Living Waters, and we went out to lunch. I went home and watched Daytona 500, and I remember that day when on the final lap, on the final curve, he hits the wall. We saw it 100 times. Everything should be fine, but that day was his final race. And I asked some of the more NASCAR fans in the church at the time. One young man we had that was a deacon here, his name was Robin Mercer. Some of you may know Brother Robin, a fine young man, and he was really into NASCAR. He's a big Jeff Gordon fan, and I tried to deliver him. I promise you I did. And I prayed for him a long time, but he was big Jeff Gordon. But I said, Brother Robin, why did they call Dale Earnhardt the Intimidator? Why did they give him that name? I didn't watch racing a whole lot. I was just kind of a casual observer. And he said, Brother Ricky, they call him the Intimidator because he was a force to be reckoned with. He was very aggressive in his driving. And he would run up on people. And this is the thing, Brother Ricky. The reason they called him the Intimidator is if he knew he couldn't win, this is what he'd do. He knew if he was fighting you and he knew you were going to beat him, he would wreck you and let somebody else win. That's why they called him the Intimidator. And you know, when Brother Robin told me that, I got to thinking about that. Somebody that's trying to knock me out to keep me from winning. Somebody that knows I'm headed toward the finish line and would like nothing better than to knock me out before I claim victory. I thought, you know what? That sounds like the old devil. Can I get a witness out there? I'm telling you, in fact, the devil, the Greek word for devil is diabolos, which means diabolical or slanderer. You read our scripture this morning. The devil accuses us day and night, constantly whispering in us, quit, give up, don't go to church, don't serve God, or even this, that sometimes even worse, just be casual about it. Don't get on fire about it. You know what that is? That is the Intimidator. In fact, the Bible describes him. If we go to the next slide, Revelation 12 and 1. He is the accuser of our brethren, which accused him before God day and night. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Notice those scriptures. Be sober. Now, we know in today's language what sober means. It means you ain't drunk. I mean, well, how's Uncle Charlie doing? Well, he's sober this week. You know, we know what sober means. But really, think of that word, be sober. In other words, don't be intoxicated by the things. And I'm not just talking about Jack Daniels and Budweiser. I'm talking about you can be intoxicated and kind of not in your senses with the things of God like we should be. Why? Be sober and be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Watch your rearview mirror. Be alert. Think ahead. Because why? Because the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The scripture tells us the devil is the Intimidator. Now, if you go back to the main slide and see, over the years, as I have prayed for people, as I've talked with people, as I have witnessed the people, and I pray with people, talk with people, it seems like over and over again, just about the time I was going to get them saved, or just about the time that I was talking to a Christian and saying, hey, let's make a full surrender to the Lord, or cross the line of really going all the way with God, just about the time I had them there as a pastor for 20 years, just about I had them there, all of a sudden, boom, the intimidator comes and keeps that soul from going all the way with God and crossing the finish line. I'll never forget a young lady was in the church here, Living Waters, early on in my ministry. And she went to a women's conference and she was struggling. She had a child and she was a single parent and she had made some mistakes. And we were gracious to her. We knew she loved the Lord and she had messed up. And we let her sing in the choir, sing on the praise team. And I remember she went to a women's conference and she came back and testified. She said, I just want to get married so bad, and I just made up my mind. I don't care if I get married or not. I'm going to stay in church. The Lord is doing something for me, and I'm just going to go all the way with God. Sounds like she was going all the way. But guess what come? She got a call from a fella. And he goes to the bars, and the country music bars. And, oh, pastor, he's a good guy. He just don't go to church. I'm telling you, it's the intimidator trying to knock you out from what God wants to do. And tragically, she herself fell out of church. Friend, we got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. We got to be on top of this thing. We got to pray up. We've got to fast. We've got to seek the Lord. Because I don't want, when it gets down at the payday someday, Brother and Sister Wilson, praise God, I don't want to be right there at that checkered flag and just about ready, and the devil comes tempt me with something that says, why don't you try this? Why don't you give up that? No, I'm going all in. I'm going all the way with Jesus. This is not a time to go back. This is not a time to be intimidated. This is a time to say, I'm going all the way with God. Will you give him a hand of praise here this morning? You see, your decision and the intimidator will affect you now, will affect your family, and will affect you for all eternity. Now, I can focus on the Christian. We're talking about the person who is saved, who has not yet got into the fullness of all that God has. But I'm going to turn this message to the unsaved, to those who have yet to give their life to Jesus, but you're that close. You know you need to. And I want to talk to you about how the intimidator will keep those who are trying to get saved, will try to, just about the time they're ready to step out of the seat, walk the aisle, just about the time they're ready to go all the way with the Lord, I'm going to talk to you about four things the intimidator does to keep you from crossing the line of being saved. How many of you know being saved is the most important thing in the entire world? I'm going to repeat that. How many of you know that being saved, and I'm not talking about being, well, I'm a good person. No, you're not good enough, sweetie. I promise you. I could just talk to one of your friends. I could just look on your Facebook post and tell you need prayer. I'm telling you right now. You may be a good person, but good ain't good enough. I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. But you need to be saved. And what does the devil do? So point number one, my brother, point number one, the devil will come up just about the time somebody's ready to get saved. The devil will come up and say, oh, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. You're too bad. You're too hooked on drugs. You're too far gone. So this person is hearing the gospel. This person is hearing you witness to them. And just about the time they're ready to say yes, all of a sudden, boom, the intimidator says, you can't do that. You're too bad. You remember all those sins you committed? You're too hooked on drugs. You remember that? You're too far gone. He tells you how terrible your sin is. And that's funny about the devil. By the way, the devil tempts you to sin. Then you wind up giving in to the sin. And then he turns around and tells you how bad and sorry you are. That's a sorry man, isn't it? A sorry intimidator. He'll tell you that you've sinned way too much. That you're too far gone. But can I tell you this morning, if you've never been saved and the intimidator is down on you, telling you, reminding you of the bad things you've done and the terrible things of your past. Let me tell you something. He is a lie, because you are not too far gone. And if you will respond to the call of God, He is wooing you. He is reaching out to you because He loves you and He died for you, and you can be saved. And don't put it off to tomorrow. Do it right now, because He loves you this morning, no matter how bad you've been. Can you say amen? What about Mary Magdalene on the next slide here? Mary Magdalene. Look at Mark 16:9. Out of whom Jesus cast out 7 devils. Now, folks, if you got one devil, that's bad. This chick had 7 devils. She was a mean mama, I'm telling you. I was preparing this, getting this message ready, when the pastor called and said I need to be ready to preach. And so I was pulling together this message and these notes, and I got to thinking about Mary Magdalene and the thought that, and see, I like to put things in everyday, you know, where you could kind of connect with it, you know. But she kind of reminded me of Elvira. The lady, her name was what? Let's see, Cassandra Peterson. And she, you know, the black hair and that mean look and stuff. And here's Elvira. Now, any hope for Elvira? Elvira's trying to get saved. And the devil says, honey, you can't get saved. You done this, you done that, and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and that thing. But let me tell you something. Notice the scripture says that Jesus cast out 7 devils. Oh, praise God. Let me tell you something. You're not too far gone. If a woman like Elvira with 7 devils can get saved, and that same Mary Magdalene turned out to be one of the greatest Christians that has ever lived in the Gospels, don't let that intimidator keep you. For you're not too bad. You're not too far gone. I don't care what your family says. I don't care what your children say. I don't care how bad they run you down. God didn't run you down. God lifted His Son up on a cross so that you could be saved. Can you say amen? Amen. There's another woman at the next slide. This is the woman at the well. We don't know her name. But listen to this. Jesus went to this woman. Shock. Because in those days, men didn't carry on a conversation with a woman. You know why? Because they felt like women were inferior. They felt like women were responsible for sin. Have you heard that kind of stuff? You know, that Adam and Eve, and if it weren't for Eve, you know, blah, 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 and Eve seduced her husband. No, let me tell you why we're in sin. Because of Adam. Adam ate that fruit. And Eve did it first. Well, Adam should have been there leading her and praying for her and encouraging her. He wasn't even around when she was talking with the old devil there. So where was he at? Probably back there watching a 4K TV. He should have been with his wife. Men, let me tell you, this is a good preach right here. Men, be the spiritual leader of your house. Guard your family. Make sure they're praying, reading their Bible. It's up to us to be the leaders. God has called us, and ladies love to be led by spiritual husbands. There's not one lady that wouldn't say, I thank God I've got a spiritual-minded husband. All you ladies say amen. Amen. Now, if your husband comes home and says, I'm the spiritual head, and we're going to buy a brand new boat, that's not what we're talking about. And all the ladies say, okay. But this woman at the well, let me tell you something. Jesus went to her. Somebody say, Jesus went to her. Can you lift your hands and thank God He came to you? He came to Ricky Nelms. Oh, I was too far gone. I had already sinned at 12 years of age. I had already done enough sin that I could have consigned me to hell, and God would have been justified for doing it. Because one sin brings eternal consequences. One sin. This woman had, Jesus said, you got 5 husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband. I want to stop right here, and I'm going to touch on a touchy subject. Get ready. Pray for the preacher. Put your seatbelt on. Because we live in the day of cohabitation, where the average person today cohabitates before they marry. How are we going to handle that? Well, we're going to preach the truth. And we're going to preach the truth not like this. You sorry shacking up people out there, and the judgment of God is going to fall on you and turn you to a devil's hell. Well, that may be true, everything you just said, but how many of you know sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Amen? There's what we're going to do is say, let me tell you something. God loves you. And we encourage you. For your soul's sake, we offer to you what Jesus planned, the gift of marriage. And I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher of gospel, ordained Pentecostal Holiness. This year, next year will be 25 years of ordained ministry. I started preaching in 1987, and I was just thinking about it. It's 31 years of pulpit ministry. Thank you, Father. I'm not worthy. And I don't have to have a pulpit to preach. I promise you, I preach a lot of sermons right out there. 1892. I promise you I do. I'll slip it in when I can. Hallelujah. And I'll get out beside myself sometimes. I'm human like anybody else. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You know what I do when I find out people are living together, not married? You know what I do? I say, hey, I'll marry you. I'll do it for free. Hallelujah. Come on now. We'll get you. You know what? God will bless. You know, be a man. Be a woman. Commit. Well, we're not sure. Let me tell you something. If you share the same bathroom and you use the same roll of tissue, I promise you marriage is not that bad. You're already there. Let's get it done. And let's let God bless. Because he still blesses husbands and wives, married people. Isn't that good? Somebody shout, first comes love. Then comes marriage. And here comes them with a baby carriage. That's the way that it ought to be. But when it's not like that, God will forgive. God will help. But let's champion. Let's teach our children. First comes love. Then comes marriage. And then comes the baby carriage. And baby's got a mom and dad. And things are better in the home. And God blesses. And God can forgive. He can restore. Yes. But let's do it the right way. And God will bless in an awesome way. Did I survive? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with preaching the truth. This woman had had five husbands and was living with her husband now. And you know what Jesus said? He said, lady, you're thirsty. You think it's a relationship. And everybody would have given up on her. Man, she's too far gone. Five husbands shacking up. We ain't got time for that. Oh, yes, we do. We got time for it. And Jesus had time for it. And I'm here to tell you, don't let the intimidator tell you that you've sinned too bad. And then one final one on the next slide. The demoniac of Gadara. This man was possessed. Now, we talked about seven devils a while ago in the woman. But this man had 12 thousands of demons. Can we go to Luke chapter 8, I believe. Demoniac of Gadara. And Luke chapter 8, verse 35. And they went out to see what was done. And he came to Jesus. And they found the man out of whom were seven devils departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me tell you, this man lived in the tombs. This man was bound by chains and he ripped them up. This man had demons all in him. He had hate. He had sin. He was in debauchery. Satan, his life was... And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to take you to the graveyard. He wants you to commit suicide. He doesn't want you to live. He wants to take you quickly to hell as soon as he can get you there. But Jesus came by, and this man who was too far gone, Jesus cast every demon out of him. And the next thing we find is he's sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Go God, can you say amen? So don't let the devil tell you that you're too far gone. The Bible says God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The prophet said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thank God for amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Here it is. That saved a like me. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You can be saved. Go to this slide, Brother David. You don't, by the way, you don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Don't say, I'm going to clean up my act and I'm going to get a little bit better. No. You don't say it with me. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Somebody say amen this morning. And then, if you're trying to get saved, the devil will tell you, not only, he'll say you can't be saved. And if that doesn't work, he'll tell you, number two, are we at it? Just give me a thumbs up. He'll tell you, you can't stay saved. Now, that's a trick of the intimidator. You want to try to be a Christian? You can't do it. You can't live that life. You'll never be as good as these saints here in Westmoreland. In fact, he'll say, you're trying to be a Christian, and he'll say, you remember that diet you tried to go on earlier in the year? Uh-huh. How did that go? Uh-huh. You couldn't stay on that diet, could you? He'll try to remind you when you tried to stop smoking. You remember you were smoking, and then you tried, you knew you need for your health reason, you need to quit smoking, and you put down the cigarettes for about 90 minutes, and you had to pick it back up. He'll remind you, you can't quit smoking, you can't diet, you're weak, you're hooked on porn. But listen to me this morning. Hear me. That's the lie from the intimidator. Not only can he save you, here it is, he can keep you saved. Go to Jude 1 and 24, brother. Jude 1 and 24. Read it out loud, everybody. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. There's none of us that can live the Christian life. Can I be even more honest? I can't live the Christian life. I'm telling you, I'll go home at times and I'm like, man, I really blew it today. Man, I really lost my temper. Man, I thought a thought I shouldn't think. And I just told you I've been preaching 31 years, okay? So I'm just telling you, I can't live the Christian life. You can't. So don't let the devil tell you that you can't stay saved. Because the Bible, the big truth of the matter is this. You can't live the Christian life. I can't live the Christian life. It was never intended for us to live the Christian life. Here's the secret. It is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. And he's able to keep me from falling. Now, I may stumble and I may fall, but I'm going to tell you what. So what? If you give your life to Jesus and you fail, that's not the end. Ask God to forgive you and he'll pick you up. And you can live the Christian life, not you, but him through you. Somebody shout amen. Amen. People say, well, I need to turn over a new leaf. Oh, you don't need to turn over a new leaf. Preacher, I know I need to get saved. And I'm going to, here's what I hear a lot of times. But I'm going to do better. Now, if anybody's married, know that you're not going to do better. Can I get a witness? Oh, you married people out there. I mean, we live in the real world. Come on. We're not going to do better. By the way, you don't need to turn over a new leaf. Every time I collected 50 leaves for biology class at Southern National Senior High, and I'm telling you, all those leaves at the end of the day, they all look the same to me. And when I flipped them over, they look the same. You don't need a new leaf. Because when you just turn over a new leaf, guess what you got? You got the same old leaf. Can I get a witness? You don't need a new leaf. Praise God, you need a new life. And new life only comes by being born again. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I was born such and such a way. And now you know how people talk. Well, since I was born, I had this certain feeling. I had that certain feeling. I'm not going to argue with you, and you're probably telling the truth. But that's okay. Listen, being born once is not the deal. The Bible says be born again. And he can make you to be what you need to be. You can be saved. It's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, it's not your past, it's not your sins, it's not your leaf. It's the life of God. And when you're born again, he will save you and set you free. Can you say amen this morning? In fact, go to this next slide. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need a new life. And you say, let me tell you something. When you do get saved, let me tell you how he keeps you from falling. This is how. You ready? You want to write this down? Read the Bible daily and consistently. That'll help you stay saved. Go to church regularly and consistently. That'll keep you saved. And I didn't get not one solitary amen out there. And I tell you something else. Be around people who will pick you up and not wear you down in your spirit. Can I get an amen out there? Oh, praise God. I've got 9 minutes and 33 seconds. Hallelujah. Number one, the intimidator will tell you that you can't be saved. You're too bad. Or he'll tell you that you can't stay saved. Now, here's a biggie. How about shut those two doors back there? Because I'm gonna lock everybody in. And no, I'm just kidding. But go ahead and shut the doors. That's fine if you can just give us some privacy. But they ain't to lock anybody in. If they need to go, they can go. We understand. Sometimes people have to work on Sundays. But listen, here's what he'll do. Can we go to that next slide? He'll tell you, number three. Let's go to number three. He'll tell you this. Just about time I got somebody ready to get saved, the old intimidator says, psst, you don't need to be saved. Oh. I mean, you need to be saved from what? You're a good person. You gave money to the Shriners Fish Fry. You donated to the Jerry Lewis Cerebral Palsy Labor Day Weekend Share-a-thon for Muscular Dystrophy. By the way, I'm very dating myself with some of this stuff this morning because that was years ago. Every Labor Day, how many of you remember Jerry Lewis? Was it Jerry Lewis or... Jerry Lewis would raise money for what? MD, muscular dystrophy? March of Dimes. And the old devil says, you don't need to be saved. I mean, and here's something else he says. You don't need to be saved. You do go to church every now and then. You take care of your kids. And here's another. He said, hey, why is this preacher telling you need to get saved? You don't lie a lot. You're a good person. Hell. What's he talking about you going to hell? You're a good person. You're not Saddam Hussein. You're not Osama bin Laden. Oh, you're much better than Adolf Hitler. You're definitely not Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, that's what the devil tells people. And just about the time I've convinced them to get saved, the devil comes up with this, you don't need to get saved. You're a good person. I mean, come on. You and God got your own thing going, and you know, you know what that is? That's the intimidator lying to you. And here's another one he'll say. He'll say, you don't need to get saved. See, on some people, he tells them they're too bad, they can't be saved. Some people tells them you're too good, you don't need to be saved. And so that may be some of you this morning. Some of you are like, well, I'm just as good as those folks at the church. I had somebody tell me the other day, and I ain't going to tell you where, but I had somebody, I was telling them they need to get saved. They need to give their heart to the Lord. They don't need to delay it. And that God loves them, and I love them. And why aren't you doing it? You know, His mercies is good. And the person looked back to me and said, well, I can serve God just as good at home. I looked back and I said, sure you can. But we need you in the church because it's the church that people need. If you say you got saved, other people need to get saved as well. And we ain't going to do that sitting at home watching TV. I don't care how blessed and saved you are. We need to come together. We need to be an army of the Lord. We've got to go offering. We got a world that needs to be saved. Just because you're saved, there ought to be an urgency. Let me do what I can to lead other people to Jesus. Say amen. Let me tell you something. The Bible, do you know what the greatest sin is? And don't answer out loud, because some of you may say this is the greatest sin, that's the greatest sin, you know, this is the most horrible sin a person could commit. But do you know what the greatest sin is? Let me tell you what the greatest sin is. Go to the next slide, Brother David. I'm going to show you what the greatest sin in all the world is. Are you ready? Master, that's not the greatest sin, brother. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Thank you, my brother. Don't you love Brother David back there doing a good job? Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Amen? So if that is the first and greatest commandment, then the greatest sin is to break the greatest commandment. Well, adultery is the greatest sin, or homosexuality is the greatest sin, or telling a lie is the greatest sin. Those are sins, and they're bad sins. But let me tell you this. Truthfully, the greatest sin is to break the greatest commandment. And I'm just going to tell you that leaves none of us out. There is none of us that can get up and say, I have loved God with all of my heart, all of my soul. Now, I've tried to love God with all my heart. I've tried to love Him with all my soul. But I can tell you, none of us have reached there yet. Can I get a witness out here tonight? You see, the worst form of badness is your own human goodness. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you think you're so good that you don't need to be saved, your very goodness will be the worst thing, that be the worst form of badness that you can commit. The greatest command is to love God with the greatest heart, and the greatest sin is to not to love God with all of your heart. It's not these others. Let me just say that a lot of people will miss heaven, not because of some great sin, but because they are egomaniacs strutting their way to hell, thinking they're too good to be damned. Oh, my friend. Let me tell you this morning, don't be self-righteous. I remember I was talking to a man one time about getting saved, and he said, I give, and I have tried to be good to people, and I this, and I that. And after a while, I said, hold it just a minute. All I hear is I've done this, and I've done that, and I've given here, and I've been good, and I haven't tried to hurt anybody. Let me tell you something. What you don't realize is you're relying on your own self to get you to heaven. What you're really saying is, God, I'm so good, you just open that pearly gate. When the truth of the matter is, God is not only a Savior, He is a judge, and He must judge us by the law. And every one of us have broken the greatest commandment. And so therefore, we need without delay to fling ourselves on the altar and say, Father, have mercy upon me. And here's the good news. He will save you. And listen, go to the next slide. And got to read this. The next slide, it says, no one is so bad. Read it out loud with me, everybody. No one is so bad they cannot be saved. No one is so good that they don't need to be saved. Is anybody saved this morning? Lift your hand and praise God that He took you. You realize that you were a sinner and needed of a Savior, and He took you in and forgave you of your pride and forgave you of your sin. This is shouting ground. Somebody ought to say hallelujah this morning. In fact, that's what false religion is all about. False religion is this. People are like, well, there's so many religions in the world. There's so many gods, so many religions. How can you say you've got the only right religion? I say, I'll tell you why. All religions is just basically two. It's only two. Well, what about this one, this one, this one? They all fall into one category or the other. Here it is. And once all religions in the world is do this. You do a little better and you get good and you'll go to heaven. Whether it's Islam, some forms of Roman Catholicism, some forms of Mormonism, some forms of this, some forms of that, Buddhism, all of it says basically this, you got to get better, and then God will take you to heaven. But my religion is this, like I said a while ago, I can't do any better. The better is a gift from God to me, a sinner. And other religions send their sons to die for their God. Planes into buildings. 9/11. Why did they do that? We want our sons to die for our God. But my religion is so different. We don't send our sons to die for our God. Our God sent His Son to die for us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. You can't earn it in 1,000 years, your salvation. You must fully trust Him. And don't let the intimidator tell you you're too bad. Don't let the intimidator tell you you can't. Don't let the intimidator tell you you're too good. And finally, as I close, and Brother Wilson, for the hope of this crowd, please come to the piano and let's get ready to play. But the devil will tell you the greatest trick of all. Let's go to number 4. The greatest trick of all is, right when you're ready to get saved, He'll come up and just about the time, He'll tell you, number 4, that you've got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Why do it now? Some of you are thinking about getting saved this morning, but here's what's coming to your mind. Well, do it later. Maybe not. Maybe I should, but not today. But can I tell you, to the teenager, he says, you get saved later, you have fun now. But can I tell you, how many times have we seen teens die suddenly? To the accomplished middle-aged man, he'll say, you're strong, you have your health, you've got plenty of years, you really don't need the Lord. You know what that is? That's the intimidator. But go back, Brother David, to that slide with all those people you just showed. But look at these people. Just give me a thumbs up when you got it. Look at these people. Well, you say, I've got plenty of time. Dale Earnhardt didn't have plenty of time, did he? He never knew that day as any other day. On turn one, things were fine. On the final lap. Turn two, living life. Coming around that third turn. Then on the way to the fourth turn. Headed to the checkered flag. Lights out. Eternity and God. We don't have plenty of time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Look at the top left. Anybody know who that man is at the top left there? John Kennedy Jr. Some of you remember him under the desk of the Oval Office. Some of those pictures when he was a little John. That's what they called him. I know Brother Elam probably knew him well. Amen. But he was the People Magazine called him the sexiest man alive in like the 1980s. And in 1999, he got on the plane with his fiance. They were going to the Kennedy compound. And by the way, he was a pilot. But he was not a pilot that went by instruments. He didn't know how to fly by instruments. He was just kind of a low-level flyer. And he read the instruments, but he also kind of could see and stuff. And what happened was he got into the fog, and his instruments were telling him that he was going this way. But his body and his mind felt like he was going that way. Now, that happens a lot of time when you're up in the air, that it plays with your mind, particularly when you don't realize how disoriented you get. You think this way is that way. And so he was going by what he was thinking. And the instruments, they found out later, were telling him correctly that he was going the wrong way. And he went by how he felt instead of by what he saw and what he knew or what he should have known. And he died. He did not have plenty of time. Superman back here. I know y'all, you young people, you millennials, have no idea who that man is. I know you don't. Christopher Reeve. When I was a young boy and I saw those Superman movies and he would fly. Oh, my goodness. Superman 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Oh, it was amazing. But Superman was in an accident in the 90s. And he became paralyzed from neck down. And then he died many years later. Princess Diana. How many of you know who this one is? Come on, tell me. Whitney Houston. Some of you are the most. Do you people go to church? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on you. The top right corner, Michael Jackson. All of these people probably thought like you think, I've got plenty of time. Can I tell you? Now is the time. Today is the day. Don't let the intimidator knock you out of the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. And that is the decision to fully accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not because you're a good person. Not because you're too bad of a person. Not because you're worried if you can live it. But right now, today, would you bow your heads this morning? And Heavenly Father, we come today. And as Brother Clark plays, if you don't know the Lord this morning, what's holding you back is not anything you could say or any excuse. All it is the intimidator trying to keep you from serving the Lord. So I ask you this morning, if you don't know the Lord today, if you've not turned from your sins, if you've not asked Him to forgive you, I don't care how bad you've been, He will forgive you. But you should ask for it. You must ask for it. And not only ask Him to forgive you, but pledge your living breath to Him. Make Him the Lord of your life. Not just on Sunday and Thursday when I get around to it, but every breath. Receive His grace. Turn from your life. If you die, you will live. If you continue living, you will die. But oh, He will save you this morning. Would you stand with me this morning? Stand with me. Can we do Amazing Grace? Just whatever key. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Don't delay. Don't put it off.
A wretch like me.
I once was lost.
Oh, I once was lost. Oh, but now.
Don't put it off any longer.
Was blind.
Was blind.
But now I see.
If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're tired of the old intimidator knocking you out, and you want it to be today, you don't want to wait any longer. You shouldn't wait any longer. Would you be so bold and brave enough as to step out of your seat, walk down to the front? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Everybody here loves you. Everybody here has been where you're at. So would you just step out of your seat? Come and join me, and I want to pray with you. That the Lord, will you come this morning? If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, sing it one more time.
Amazing.
Is that you? Is it you? Anybody? Anybody? You want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Come on up.
That saved a wretch like me.
If you'll just give me just a few more minutes, because what we're doing is one of the most important things that a church can do. Man, DC has been a part of this church for many years as a little boy, but I really believe the Lord has opened his heart this morning. I don't believe that he just came down to come down. I believe today is the day. Man, DC, will you accept Jesus into your heart? You want it to be today, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Say, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I come to you a sinner.
I come to you as a sinner.
I totally need you.
I totally need you.
Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me for my sin.
Change my heart.
Change my heart.
I commit my life to you.
I commit my life to you.
And I'll bring others to you.
I bring others to you.
In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
Thank you that I'm saved.
Thank you, Lord, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm glory. Somebody shout hallelujah this morning. Amen. I'm saved. Anybody else saved this morning? Final prayer. And I want us to close in prayer. But some of you are saved. You know you're saved. If you are, raise your hand. Let me see you this morning. You know it. All right. Does the intimidator give up once we get saved? Does he? No, he wants to keep on working on us. So I want you to come down and join me at the front. And I want to pray a prayer together that as we continue to fight the accuser of our brethren, nothing is going to stop us from crossing the finish lines. Come by, somebody just step out of your seat. Come on down this morning. Let's close in prayer just a few minutes and we'll dismiss. But Father, as we come this morning, we believe that God, the intimidator, is already defeated. He's already cast down. He's not going to stop me from serving. He's not going to stop me from praising. He's not going to stop me from sharing my faith. I'm going to serve you, God, no matter what the intimidator does, no matter what people do, no matter how much I may fall. I'm going to get back up again because it's your grace. Lift your hands. You know what intimidates the intimidator? Is your praise. That's what will mess him up. That's what throws him off. Worship the Lord this morning. Praise him this morning. We're going all the way with the Lord. I'm going to cross the finish line because I've made up my mind. You can go with me? Fine. But if you don't, I'm going all the way. I'm all in this morning. Oh, Father, right now, I pray for each person this morning. Oh, God, I come against the intimidator that tries to knock us out from serving you, that tries to knock us out, God. Oh, Lord, I pray for this young lady this morning. She's not going to be intimidated. She's going on with the Lord. Oh, God, thank you this morning. thank you this morning. I'm going all the way with the Lord. All the way. Not going back. Oh, I'm going to keep praising Him. My brother, it's your birthday. And keep on keeping on. Come on, lift those hands up to the Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Come on, sing. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody, praise God. Oh, praise God. Brother Bud is going all the way. 88 years of age. He's not going.